Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, August the 20th. Hope you had a good weekend, despite all the rain. Some areas needed it. I was in Appleton over the weekend, and it was welcome there, but others definitely did not. Governor Doyle is scheduled to visit the three counties in southwestern Wisconsin that were hardest hit by storms over the weekend. He plans to tour communities in Crawford, Richland, and Vernon counties. Yesterday, he declared a state of emergency in those counties after thunderstorms dumped about a foot of rain there. And more rain is on the way today, especially for southern Wisconsin, and a flash flood warning is in effect until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Well, we are going to talk about trash this hour and how much we throw away and whether we would consume less, maybe recycle more, if we had a pay-as-you-throw system in place where we would pay for each bag of garbage generated. Do you think this type of system should be the norm? Would we throw out fewer bags of junk, maybe figure out how to reuse more or recycle more if we had to pay for each bag that we placed on the curb? Our guest this hour says yes, and she will answer your questions and respond to your views about this pay-as-you-throw system of garbage collection. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email with your question or comment to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Maybe your community already has this type of program in place. How do you like it? Should it be the system for all communities in Wisconsin? Our guest is Eleanor O'Byrne, Public Policy Research Fellow at George Mason University in Virginia. She wrote a recent op-ed piece for the Christian Science Monitor, The Pay-as-you-throw Garbage Fix, and she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how would this work exactly, a pay-as-you-throw system of garbage collection?
Well, the system could work differently in different places depending on what made sense for that community. But what some communities have already done is institute a system, for example, where you go to the grocery store and buy a set of stickers or tags for a dollar each or for whatever the community decides is the appropriate price, and then you would put one on each bag of garbage. So instead of just paying a utility or paying the tax to your local community and then having a set amount you can put out or as much as you want, you would actually have an incentive to produce less garbage if you wanted to pay less money.
Would it really replace the taxpayer dollars that we already contribute to trash collections in most communities?
Well, it could. I mean, it would be up to the local community to put it in some way that they wanted to put in. But in theory, if this was being paid for by the individual user, if they had a system where you could actually just go and put the money into that, the money could be set aside specifically for this, and they could not be collecting it in taxes.
Really? I guess I was thinking that it probably costs a whole lot more than a dollar a bag for a garbage collection system.
It could. It could. It would be different in different systems depending on how they had chosen to collect it and whatever else. But Grinnell, Iowa, for example, charges $1 a bag. It could be partly supplemented by a tax system. Every community would have to figure that one out for itself.
Yeah. And you propose this because you think garbage collection costs are pretty much invisible to all of us?
Pretty much. I mean, it depends on what your own system is right now, but it seems that as we talk more about, you know, banning certain items or thinking more about, you know, what kind of packaging are we buying on our goods, it would make a lot of sense if instead of banning certain things, we just made people pay the cost of the things that they bought, mm-hmm. both when they buy it and when they throw it away.
So, I mean, do you think that aren't we doing a better job when it comes to recycling and reusing and that sort of thing?
We are. I think in Madison they switched to a recycling system a couple years ago, and it's worked well. I mean, people do it, but compliance, I mean, isn't full. People still throw away a lot of recycled goods into their trash because they don't always have a good incentive to choose to actually take the time to put it into the separate bin as they would otherwise. And some people, you know, just do it because they really like it or they feel good about the environment and want to help. But this would be helpful for a lot of people that maybe don't care that much, but they might care if they had an incentive to produce less trash.
Yeah. Some communities, you just mentioned Grinnell, Iowa, already have this type of system in place. And it's working well there?
It seems to be. I mean, a system with a sticker or something might not work everywhere, to be fair. Maybe in some communities people would steal stickers and put them on other containers, but it's working in Grinnell. Bloomington, Indiana has a similar system where you buy a tag and put it on every bag you throw away. And residents there seem to be happy with it.
Mm-hmm. We are talking with Eleanor O'Byrne, Public Policy Research Fellow at George Mason University in Virginia. She wrote an op-ed for the Christian Science Monitor, "The Pay-as-You-Go Throw Garbage Fix," saying that when people start paying individually for the bags of waste that we generate, it may encourage us to change our shopping habits, consume less, recycle more. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday morning, August the 20th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6. American employers are looking at health plans that reward healthy workers and force unhealthy workers or workers with unhealthy habits to pay higher premiums. After 5 on At Issue, Ben and his guest will discuss the ethics behind these types of health care plans. Tomorrow at this time, we will be talking with the author of The Virtuous Consumer about how to make socially conscious shopping decisions. That's tomorrow between 6 and 7. Right now, we're talking about paying for trash collection or paying per bag of trash that you put out on the curb. Our guest wrote an op-ed piece on this for the Christian Science Monitor, extolling the virtues of the pay-as-you-throw garbage fix. She is Eleanor O'Byrne, Public Policy Research Fellow at George Mason University. And she's also, by the way, a graduate of Beloit College. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for her at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. To the phones we go. Mike in Galesville is with us first. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi. I'll just make a couple of comments and then take my response off the air. I'd like to point out the first thing is that a lot of the trash that American consumers end up throwing away is kind of involuntarily. When you go to the store and purchase anything from a spark plug to a package of cookies, you end up with a lot more packaging sometimes than you do a product, and that's not through my choice. And the other thing is, I certainly don't ask for the ton of junk mail that I end up getting every week, and it seems like even signing up for the no junk mail lists doesn't get you out of all of it. I believe that one of the first things we have to do to reduce the amount of waste in this country is to start making the people who make the packaging and send the junk mail, they don't pay anywhere near as much for their materials as it is worth, not only in the resources they use, but the cost of getting rid of it. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about that, Eleanor O'Byrne?
He brings up a very good point that often packaging is more than you need for some particular thing. It seems excessive at times. But I guess the question that I would ask then is how can we change that? Considering that products are made all over the world, it could be very difficult to put in any kind of system as regulation where we try to ban certain types of packaging or even have some kind of tax or charge on producers for making it. By putting in this kind of pay-as-you-throw system, people would be charged more if they produced more trash, which would provide them with the incentive to choose the thing with less packaging rather than the things with more packaging. And this, in turn, would put pressure on the producers from the consumers to make things that had less packaging. I think that it's not an immediate fix, but over time, producers would see that people preferred things with less packaging, and they were willing to take the risk that something maybe got, you know, a little scratched or somehow maybe wasn't as protected, for the fact that they wouldn't have to be putting so much stuff into their trash and being charged for it on the other side. It's the sort of same idea with the junk mail list. Perhaps if people were being charged more for throwing away their junk mail and other mail, that they might try to make a even stricter do not mail me list for the junk mail. So I think that the important thing to think about is that you focus on what the consumer do to get the producer to stop. Trying to put a ban on it would be very difficult and technically infeasible, but by having the consumers pay, they could put pressure on the producers to change their habits.
Yeah, and with junk mail, that in many communities, mail and paper products like that are recyclable, aren't they?
Yeah, I think with junk mail, it really depends on the community. Some can take the shiny paper, and some can't. So it really would depend what kind of recycling program you had in your particular town.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mike, for the call. Carol in Plymouth is with us. No, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I want to say second what Mike said, second what the guest just said, and say that I'm a graduate of Polite College also, and I'm excited. I'm so excited with her raising this issue because it's so huge. I have nowhere to go with toxic waste stuff, and I have, like, paint and so on. It's a thing where you collect it. It's collected only at certain times, et cetera, and it's just huge, so thank you.
Well, how huge is this problem, Eleanor?
Well, toxic waste we should think about separately from normal garbage. Most trash systems do consider them separate issues. You have municipal solid waste, which is just the standard household waste that you produce. And then things like toxic waste, they generally have separate kinds of collection systems because they have to do different things to make sure that, you know, when they put that in a landfill or when they put that somewhere, it's not going to leach out. So I think it's fair to say that the same kinds of principles will apply to collection of toxic waste, that you'd want to, you know, charge people for their use and make sure that, you know, people understand that if they're, you know, buying paint or toxic batteries or whatever else, that they will, you know, also have to throw them away at some point. But it is a slightly different collection system than it would be for municipal waste.
Yeah. How huge is the problem of just general, you know, run-of-the-mill waste and how much we throw away? Big deal if I throw out 3 bags of garbage each week rather than one.
Well, it's all sort of changes on the margin. I mean, Wisconsin threw out 11 million tons of waste, I think, in 2005, and they have 33 landfills open right now, and there are 600 closed ones. And what you want to think about is, you know, it's not just how much we have open, but how much we have to close. Once you close a landfill, you have to keep monitoring it to make sure that, you know, the ground doesn't shift and something doesn't leak out. I mean, engineers are very good at making them safe for the communities that they're in, but you just want to be careful about that. And each one we build is just more risk for the communities and more space that's taken up with trash instead of with other uses.
Yeah, what prompted you to write this piece or to take up this issue?
Well, actually, I was talking with a family friend around Christmas time, and she was going on about packaging and how she just wanted the government to ban plastic packaging on so many things that she felt like every time she went to the store, even the tiniest object was wrapped in, you know, some big thing of plastic. And I agreed with her. It seems silly that you would have so much plastic for such a tiny little thing. But I guess it just didn't quite make sense to me that you could ever try to ban that. I just didn't even know how you'd sort of go about that. And how that would really work. And I thought, well, and you know, sometimes there are things that you do need wrapped in plastic. So I thought, well, maybe it would make sense if the problem is that you're filling up a landfill, that people have to actually buy the space in the landfill in a greater degree than what they're doing now.
Thank you, Carol. Tom in Burlington is with us. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Morning.
I wrote a little song about this. It's a Christmas song. I'm cleaning my house for Christmas. I'm throwing out all the crap. And I think about these landfills just piling up. I've got one over here. And you can make a ski slope out of them maybe 100 years from now. But anyway, one of the questions is, we were talking about batteries, and I went to the store the other day, and I said, you're selling me a battery. What do I do with my old battery? And she said, well, I don't know what you do with it. And now the big batteries, they'll give you $5 for every automobile battery that you bring back because they can reuse those. But these small little batteries, there must be millions and millions out there, and people just toss them in the wastebasket. And I think, you know, with the toxic paint and with the batteries, there ought to be some kind of a law that where you bought it, they should have a collection thing right there, and it's part of the price of the product that you've bought, because the batteries and the paint, and what these people do is they'll put this stuff in a black bag and they'll put it out in the front of the house, and the collector can't tell that he's really throwing away toxic stuff that shouldn't be any place. It's very, very dangerous.
Yeah. I want to address the battery thing again. I guess we don't have, we have so many things that run on batteries, we have to buy batteries, Eleanor, don't we?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that people do need batteries. I mean, they're very useful for your flashlights and everything else. The question is what to do with them afterwards, as Tom brought up. In some places, it's batteries go with recycling. So that's really a different program depending on, what recycling system that you have set up, but it certainly would be feasible that if you have a recycling system curbside, that perhaps you could throw batteries in or have a little container on the side of your container to put the batteries in. Or other places that you have to take your recycling to a specific drop-off spot usually have a battery place as well. Like what Tom is saying about having a drop system at the stores, I guess you'd have to really think about then what the stores would do with the batteries. They'd still have to sort of put them into some kind of system. And I'm not really sure whether that would be a better system or worse system than having it just go with the regular recycling.
Yeah, I'm wondering if these systems, which are in place in some communities, these pay-as-you-throw systems, whether this might encourage people to, hey, I don't want to spend $5 for my 5 bags of trash here. I'm just going to dump this stuff somewhere else. Dump it in the woods.
Yeah, that's a good point that you bring up, and I think it's something to think about. But I really don't think that it would be a huge problem most places. I mean, well, first of all, dumping happens sometimes anyway, and most communities sort of have an idea of where people go to dump. So I think that with a little extra monitoring of the community, you could probably pretty quickly catch people or, remind people that that's not the way to do it. But I think it also points to the fact that you really want this system to be easy to do. What you want is a system where it's simple. You have to go to the grocery store, but you're going to the grocery store anyway. It's easy to get the stickers. And you can also do a system if you're worried about, very low-income families that you wouldn't necessarily be able to afford it. There, you could have some kind of system where it's tied with other community services, where if they're, getting assistance with food or something else, they could perhaps, get a certain number of free tags a year or something like that.
Well, that brings up, I think, Michael and Stephen's points question. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, you've taken a little of my thunder, but one of my concerns is this is a real regressive tax because we're not going to charge our industries per bag who are producing this stuff. What we're doing is we're putting it, everything on the consumer and telling the consumer to discipline industry. And I think that we have to sometimes as a government and as a people decide how we're going to take care of generation. And I think we can. Just because it's hard doesn't mean we don't do it. And just because it's easy doesn't mean that that's an equitable or right solution.
Yeah. Thank you, Michael. I'm going to have our guest respond to you after our news break because it's coming up in just a few seconds. Not enough time for her to respond. Eleanor O'Byrne is a public policy research fellow at George Mason University. She wrote an op-ed for the Christian Science Monitor extolling the virtues of a pay-as-you-throw garbage system. Pay for each bag of trash you generate. 1-800-642-1234. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us. It's 6:36, that is, on this Monday, August the 20th. We're talking about trash this hour and whether we should have a pay-as-you-throw system in place where you would pay for every bag of garbage that you generate. What do you think? Our guest says this would be a good idea, that such a system might encourage us to buy less stuff and to throw out less stuff, maybe recycle more, compost, recycle, or simply buy goods with less packaging. We wonder what questions you have about this at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Eleanor O'Byrne is a public policy research fellow at George Mason University in Virginia. She wrote an op-ed for the Christian Science Monitor, The Pay-as-You-Throw Garbage Fix, which appeared on August 16th. Just before news time, Eleanor, we heard from Michael in Stevens Point, who had a couple of different points. One was that this is a regressive tax. Your response to that this is a regressive tax?
Well, what Michael was getting at was that he doesn't want to be charging consumers when he thinks that we should be charging industry instead. But I guess what I would tell him is that we're already charging consumers. I mean, in most municipalities, you're either paying through it already through your taxes, property taxes, or you're paying for it as a utility. In this case, poor people are already paying for it, as are rich people. And so I think that if we're concerned about lower-income people being able to pay this, we'd say, well, first of all, maybe they should not be paying the tax if we're going to be switching to a pay-as-you-throw system. So if we instituted a pay-as-you-throw system, I think it would be perfectly sensible for a slight decrease in taxes, because what was being paid for in taxes is now being paid for by the individual. But I think that his point that if we're very concerned about lower-income people being able to afford this, we could certainly consider a kind of system that would just give them direct help with this instead of just the general tax subsidy. So, for example, we could have the same kind of means-tested program that you have for food stamps or for other programs like that. And so it could even just be a simple program where when you went to get your food stamp or through the mail, you could get your tag or your stickers or whatever system that is at the same time. So if we are worried about that and want to help lower-income residents in some way, I think that would be a more simple way to do it than we have now.
Yeah. Regressive or not, what about his point that he said we shouldn't punish the consumer or put the onus on the consumer for all the excess packaging that we have to throw out, that we should maybe charge the companies for producing this excess packaging?
Well, I think he points to something that a lot of people feel, that it's not the consumer's fault, that it's the industry. But I think it's a better way to think about this system isn't about punishing, but about choices that we make and knowledge that we have. I mean, some consumers might be buying things that you really do need extra packaging for, and some things maybe not. I mean, if you're buying, you know, crystal vases, you may really want that to come in a lot of styrofoam, you know, just in case. But if you're buying something else, you may be less concerned. And that kind of thing is really a decision that the consumer needs to make. I mean, it's really up to the consumer to decide, you know, is this something that I need or is this not? Trying to put in a system where you charged companies for doing these kinds of things means that they'd have to provide, you know, the same service for all their different products. I mean, there's just so many companies in even this country and so many different products that they sell. You'd really be building a pretty big office to try to figure out exactly how to charge for those things or how to decide what the right amount of packaging is. It makes a lot more sense, I think, for the consumers to be able to decide for themselves what the right amount of packaging is and what they're willing to pay for based on the landfill prices in their community.
Yeah, I suppose sometimes I've purchased an item and after opening the box and then opening the box inside that and the box inside that and find the little tiny thing that you don't know until you buy it how much excess packaging there is. But your point is that once I know that, then I could not buy that again, or maybe even write a letter of complaint to the
you could tell the company that you didn't like that, or you could, now you'd know that company always does it. You could even perhaps even a website could crap up where you have a packaging web where you could, you know, list for every kind of product what the packaging is, and, you know, sort of a wiki where people could write in what kind of things they bought and how the packaging was, so people could sort of share information on that way. But another point that's on this line is that sometimes you get those extra boxes and you find them useful. So if you had a system where you had to pay for your trash, it might make you think more about, you know, maybe I could find another use for this box instead of going to, you know, your local craft store or whatever and buying boxes to put your photos in and whatever. You might have more of incentive to reuse packaging that you'd already bought, the boxes, for something else, or you might put in a system where you could compost cardboard or something like that.
Yeah, or fix the appliance that breaks rather than throwing it out.
For example.
Mm-hmm. Tom in Elkhart Lake, hi, you're on the air.
Hi there, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to talk about first, I used to live in Lamira, and they do have a pay-as-you-throw system. You have to buy the Lamira trash bags, and it did work very well. People are very self-conscious about what they buy. But really what I wanted to talk about was that in China, and I believe there's one in San Diego, they do trash-burning power plants where they take the trash that would otherwise go into a landfill, burn it at something like 700 degrees Celsius to get rid of all the noxious fumes, collect the other fumes with a collection system, dispose of that properly, and you get energy out of it.
Instead of landfilling all this stuff, burn it? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah. What about that, Eleanor?
Well, that is actually done in the United States now. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, 14% of the municipal solid waste that we use in the United States is actually burned, sometimes for energy, and I think sometimes just burned to reduce space. And this is an option that some communities have turned to. There is waste in the end, the ash and whatever else, but it's a much smaller amount to be stored. This particular pay-as-you-throw policy doesn't have a whole lot to say about what you actually do in the end state, whether you put it in landfills or whether you burn it in some way, other than it really just, the idea is to pull the costs down to the person throwing the trash away. So if burning it is cheaper because it puts it in smaller space to put into the landfills, then you'd hope that it would be cheaper for the consumer who threw their trash away as well. The lower prices would come right down to them through the signals that the market would send from the landfill all the way to the person throwing it away.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Tom. Jenny in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. My comment is about the fact that here in Milwaukee we already have a yearly charge for trash pickup. And it occurred to me that because of so many foreclosures, families are going to have to start moving in together if they lose their homes, and they may be moving in together and have been for some time because of the high price of utilities. That means in some households there are enormous amounts of trash, because in one house there might be two or possibly even three families. And I felt that garbage trucks should be equipped with scales, so that as they drove down the alley to each dwelling, they would make a note of the address of that dwelling, punch it into their little computer on the scale, and simply charge individually these houses as they proceed with their garbage collection. And the person that I talked to at City Hall told me that probably then people, when they found out they were going to be paying so much, would just run over and put their garbage in somebody else's can. That could be taken care of too by having locked containers. I am just outraged about the fact that we here have this yearly fee, and I, as a single person, putting out a minute amount of garbage of any kind because I don't buy as much, and I'm certainly not cooking as I once used to. I'm just outraged by this.
So you have the same fee as maybe a family of 10 or
yes.
There
are many families that are, because of these reasons I mentioned with the foreclosures and the high utility prices, are going to be moving in together.
Yeah. What do you have to say about that, Eleanor O'Byrne?
I think that Jenny brings up an exact point of why this kind of system is useful. I mean, some families are bigger, some families are smaller. Sometimes you have more than one family living together. And by all means, if a family wants to live, with two families together, they should be able to. But there's no reason that a single person should be having to essentially subsidize the larger family that's producing more trash. So this kind of system would make perfect sense in that kind of situation. A family that has to produce more trash, they've got more mouths to feed, they have more things to buy, should by all means be producing more trash, but it also makes sense for them to be paying a little more for it. And the system that Jenny points out about scales is a system that has worked other places. In Wilmington, Delaware right now, where my parents live, they're putting in a system with recycling with exactly those kinds of scales, where everyone gets a big bin for their recycled goods, and it has a barcode on it, so when the machine comes along and picks it up, it will weigh it and record to that barcode exactly the amount. And in this case, the recycling actually gives them a bonus rather than a charge, because they can sell the recycled goods. But in terms of having a scale, it is a very feasible thing. And as Jenny pointed out with the cheating, I think that's something you want to certainly address. But like she says, there's things you could do to get around that. I think different communities would be able to either figure out, okay, maybe in our community locks work well, but I would guess in a lot of communities you just have a lot of social pressure to keep people from doing that. I mean, no one likes a cheating neighbor, and I think you might try to see them sneaking around. But I think that in a lot of communities, you don't want to be sneaking into your neighbor's trash, and you want to be able to trust them And I think that you have communities in most places where mm-hmm. that wouldn't necessarily happen.
We're talking about whether a pay-as-you-throw, throw out, that is, garbage collection system where you would pay, say, a dollar for every bag of garbage that you placed on your curbside, whether that kind of system would encourage you to throw out less, maybe recycle and reuse more, or maybe even buy less, buy things with less packaging. What do you think of this idea proposed in an op-ed recently written by our guest that appeared in the Christian Science Monitor? She is Eleanor O'Byrne, Public Policy Research Fellow at George Mason University. 1-800-642-1234. That's our toll-free number for you to join in with a thought or a question about this. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, coming up on 11 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Monday, August the 20th. Coming up after 7, it's our state capitol report. We'll take a look at the biggest developments in state politics in the past week and preview the week to come. One thing that's coming up this week is a public hearing, a legislative public hearing on a bill that would establish a bullying policy for Wisconsin schools, and we'll talk about that with a state senator coming up after 7:30. So we hope you join in for our state capitol report coming up after 7 o'clock. Let me send a little shout out to my fellow classmates at Appleton High School East. It was fun reconnecting with all of you over the weekend. Nice to know so many of you are public radio listeners. We had our 30th class reunion in Appleton over the weekend, and a good time was had by all. We're talking this hour about trash, and wonder what you think about a proposal to pay for each bag of garbage that you generate. Would that make you think twice before you threw something out? Would it encourage you or maybe your community to recycle more, to reuse more, to maybe buy less stuff? Our guest wrote about this in an opinion piece for the Christian Science Monitor. Eleanor O'Byrne is a public policy research fellow at George Mason University. The op-ed piece, Pay As You Throw Garbage Fix, appeared in the Christian Science Monitor on August 16th. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And we go next to Ralph in Green Bay. Hi, Ralph. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. I'm just calling with a comment on going back about 40 years or so. We used to have what they called a town dump, and now it's called a landfill. But it was you went there and you just took your trash. I mean, there was nobody standing there charging a fee to get in. It was all kind of covered by county taxes, I believe. And then as time progressed, you had to pay for that, and then you had to pay for the pickup, and now you're going, well, you're going to have to pay per bag. In the process, what's happened, and this is more in rural areas, but if the cost gets too high, people just find it convenient to go down a little dirt road someplace and just dump their stuff on the side of the road. There are people that do that. I mean, it's not everybody's so socially conscious that they're going to continue to pay. And it just seems like the cost is like discouraging people from being responsible.
Yeah. Eleanor?
Well, I think that Ralph brings up a concern that a lot of people have, that if the costs get too high, you might just dump it. But I'd say in that case, you know, there's creative ways you could get around that. For example, if you really were concerned that people wouldn't pay, but it's already being covered by taxes, perhaps what you could do is translate, you know, the taxes everyone paid into say, you know, 50 tags for 50 bags of garbage a year or something like that, that you could send people in the mail, and then you could allow people to trade them, for example. So our caller before said, you know, she's a single person and produces a minuscule amount of trash. She might, you know, only need, you know, 10 of them a year or some amount like that. And she could trade or sell her tags to other families that had bigger ones. So you could even have some kind of charity system where, you know, you could give it to the extra ones to your local church, and they could make sure to find needy people to give it to. So I think that he brings up a good point, that you want to be careful that you're just not making it too hard for people. But I think that there's creative ways you could make it easy for people, maybe, you know, with tags that you just send out or something like that.
Thanks, Ralph. Joe in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, yes, thanks for taking my call. I just had a question or a comment. And I was recently at a conference in Orlando, Florida, last week, as a matter of fact, thousands of people, a huge conference center, and there was no recycling at all. So that was my comment. My question was, well, why isn't recycling mandatory throughout this, throughout the country or at the municipal level? And secondly, looking at packaging, it's my thought that packaging in many cases is probably more expensive than the product that goes inside. For instance, my kids' juice boxes that they drink, which in my opinion, probably shouldn't even be available. But I was curious as to your thoughts on that, please.
Well, I'd say, first of all, I'm not an expert on recycling systems in the whole country, so exactly how it works in Orlando, I'm not familiar with. And I guess the reason it's not mandatory everywhere would be just that different places might have different access to companies that are willing to actually take the recycled goods. Some places maybe they're too remote, or there's just other uses. So when you're looking at a conference center like in Orlando or wherever else, it's important to remember too that businesses and commercial trash usually has a different kind of system than the municipal waste trash. There's different systems for picking it up. Usually they do have a different set of people that come and pick up, empty their dumpsters. So it is slightly different. But why they don't have recycling would really just be a local question. Do they have a place nearby that will take it? And are they getting any benefit for doing it? It's possible that they also were facing a kind of system where it was an all-you-can-throw garbage buffet of kinds, where they have no incentive to produce less, or they have no alternative for the recycled goods. I think that would make sense, yes.
Thank you, Joe. Lance in Madison is with us now. Hi, Lance.
Well, hi.
Hi. Go ahead, please.
Well, I've got a concern about the way Madison is going, because we have really got to do something to motivate people to make less garbage, and yet here we are handing out these giant, giant brown trash bins to everybody, and then you've got this giant trash bin. Not only does it not motivate you to make less garbage, but it's so difficult to haul those things around, especially in the cold. If people do make a lot of trash, then and they can't haul it out, well, then it's going to rot and stink. It's not like recyclables, which are nice and clean in those larger things, but in the garbage will actually weigh more usually than the recyclables in a big bin like that. So I just really would like some explanation from the city. I know my understanding is that it makes it easier to collect the garbage. Okay, so you can have a nice big fancy truck with an arm that can collect it and lift up that big heavy thing, but that seems like it's all for the collectors and not for the residents. So I think we've switched our importance to collecting the garbage instead of generating the garbage in the people who live here.
I don't know, Eleanor O'Byrne, if you can comment on the pros and cons of that kind of a garbage collection system, but maybe how do these big garbage bins that are more automated and pickup, how would that work on a pay as you throw system?
Well, having the automated system that Madison's moving to, on the one hand, is very useful in that it's already automated in a lot of ways. So you could really put barcodes on different on everyone's bin that would identify them with the house. So if you did want to do a kind of weigh system at some point, or even count the number of bags or something like that to identify how much trash people are making, you could sort of easily hook that up into the existing system. But I think the point that Lance is getting at about the giant trash bins is an important one. A lot of cities do have a cap on the amount of garbage you can produce. You pay your fee, you pay your taxes, and then you get, one big bin, and you can fill it up every month. And if you have more trash, you'll either need to save it for another week or you need to pay an extra fee for that to get filled up, which may be good incentive to not produce more trash. Mm-hmm. But what it's missing is an incentive to produce any less trash. So when you have the person like our caller from Milwaukee who's a single person and, doesn't do much, she's still paying as much as someone who filled the entire trash can. And so the problem with that is it gives you the upper end, but not any sort of incentive to move to the lower end. So I think what's really helpful is to have a system where you pay less if you produce less trash, as well as just one where you get charged more if you pay more.
You know, we only have a minute to go. A caller who's online wants to say, I already get taxed enough. Enough is enough. Pick up my garbage and don't charge me per bag. So I already have enough money that I have to spend on government services.
I think that she brings up a good point. Mm. People don't want to be paying more, but in that case, you want to, if you're switching to this kind of pay-as-you-throw system, you have to be very careful that people see a decrease in their taxes. If they're going to be paying more out of pocket, they should not be paying that twice. There's no reason to be paying the same for the same service in two different ways. You should just be paying for it in one.
Well, we're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us. And
thank you.
We appreciate your time. Eleanor O'Byrne is a public policy research fellow at George Mason University in Virginia. She's a Beloit College graduate as well. And we were talking about her op-ed piece for the Christian Science Monitor, A Pay-as-You-Throw Garbage Fix. Thanks to Leo Duran and Karen Prager for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.